Okay. That's a B flat.
Yeah, that's right.
Ha! See there? Uh-huh. All right, I'm just going to sit down and shut up now. That'd get better than to know that I actually played a note. It's only right that back in the choir room, Rick wasn't there. I sat in Rick's spot with the guitar. I'll be signing autographs later. So chances are you've probably heard this is an old joke about a father and a mother who are meeting their daughter's fiancé for the first time. She's been abroad, she got engaged, they had not met the young man. He comes home, over for dinner, and of course after dinner the father needs to have the conversation. Needs to know a little bit more about the young man. And so he asks the young man, he says, so what do you do for a living? How are you going to be able to provide the housing that my daughter is accustomed to? And he says, well, I actually just read the Bible and I know God will provide. Uh-huh. And what about food and other bills and necessities? How are you going to provide for that if you don't have any money? How's that? And he goes, well, actually, I'm just going to spend time and meditate, and I know that God will provide. Uh-huh. And if you should have children, how will they be provided for? I will spend time in prayer, and I have faith that God will provide. So later, the father meets mom in the kitchen, and mom says, well, how'd it go? What'd you find out? And he says, well, the bad news is he has no money, no job, and no prospects. The good news is he thinks we're God. The verse, when you hear the passage that Beryl read for us, the verse that almost every time people focus on is, if any will not work, let him not eat. In other words, no freeloaders allowed. Everybody is expected to pull their weight, to do their part. And sometimes people get uncomfortable when they hear that. They think it's a little bit harsh, that the consequences are too severe, and I don't think that they understand that the intention of this passage was to help struggling Christian communities discern those who they could trust from those who were imposters, to caution them and remind them of Jesus' words and warning about wolves in sheep clothing. The difference, to recognize the difference between what we've heard so often, those who talk the talk from those who walk the walk. But actually, there's more to it than that. There's a Greek word. Don't you love it when I give you Greek words? You get to go to work next week and talk to them all about, well, you know, that reminds me of a Greek word I remember. And it's atakos. Atakos. A-T-A-T-K-T-O-S. So now you can just impress your friends. And why I tell you that word is because that's the word that's in verses 6 and 7 and 11. And most of our English translations, they translate it as idleness or idle. But that's not really, really good. Because there's more to it than that. There's more to it. It's better translated as disorderly or idle and disruptive. The problem isn't just that the people aren't doing their part. The problem is that they're actually being counterproductive. It's not just that they're being lazy. It's not just their inactivity. It's not just their unwillingness to work. It's the fact that it's so disruptive to the rest of the life of the community. They're not only not doing their part, they're working against what's supposed to be happening. They're disruptive and they're destructive with their words and with their actions. They are disturbing and they're distracting the church from its mission. They are tearing down instead of building up. They are, you know how you have people at work who are such a drain and a pain? You got anybody like that you work with? People in your life that you know of that are just drains and pains? It's always, always about them. And it's for them. And you can recognize them because they're the ones wearing bibs instead of aprons. You know, the people who are always looking to receive, who really aren't looking to give. We're living in a time, we see it in the news all the time, when wildfires are rampant. From California to Australia, we see fires out of control. But not just physical fires. There are wildfires fanned by the flames of hatred. Words used to invite fear and prejudice instead of hope and healing. Words and actions used to divide instead of reconcile. And if you heard the last verse, we're called to act. That's how the passage ends. Do not grow weary with well-doing. Don't be distracted by those who divide, by those who destroy, by those who diminish. The fact of the matter is, there is work to do. We are not called to shake our heads and lament or shake our fists in hate. We're called to care for the planet. A few months ago, youth around the world, did you see that on the news? The youth, because if they wait for us, it ain't never going to happen. The youth around the world did a global climate strike to bring attention to the problems with climate change and all that's going on. Did you see that? Did you hear that 16-year-old girl? Was she from Sweden? Greta? Did you hear that? And what World Economic Forum, there she is, big, and what does she say? I want you to panic. Because you're not taking it serious. And then I want you to act. That's amazing. We're called to care for the planet, though, not by a 16-year-old, not by some progressive, left-leaning, liberal group tree huggers. We're called to care for the planet by God in Genesis chapter 1. You ever read that? We're called to care for the planet. It's not like God's got a spare planet waiting for us after we use this one up. And God's just going to magically transport us all to the next planet. It doesn't work that way. This is what you got. It's kind of like your body. This is the body that you got. This is the only one you're going to get right on this side of heaven. It's the only one. So you better take care of it. And if you don't, you're going to have a problem. This is the only planet we get. And if we don't take care of it, we're going to have a problem. You can't use this one up. We're called to work because we see it on the news. There's injustice and there's intolerance. It dominates not only our news. It dominates the planet. It dominates the world, our country, our communities. That's not coming from the ACLU. That's coming from Micah chapter 6. What does the Lord require of you? First thing, to do justice. That's not something just Glenn does. That's something all of us are called to do justice. We're called to work because abuse continues, not just substance abuse, but abuse of people. Words used as weapons instead of tearing down, instead of tools that can build up and offer encouragement and hope and healing. We're called to work because we are resurrection people. We believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, who is alive and well and active in the world, and who calls us to action, to share God's light to those who dwell in darkness, to remind people that hate is not the final word, that death is not the final act, that hope and healing and new life are offered to all. There is work to do. The youth were talking about this in Sunday school. I happen to know the Sunday school teacher, so I know that she did this. There's a commercial on TV. I don't know if you've seen it. It's about a 14-year-old boy. Have you seen that commercial? 14-year-old boy who's come up with his own clothing line. And so he's out there on the street, you know, and he's from the inner city. And he's hustling and he's promoting this line of clothing that he's come up. Because he says, because you know what they say on the streets, slow feet don't eat. Isn't that great? 14 years old and he's already learned a major lesson in life. You gotta work. You gotta hustle. You gotta be active. Slow feet don't eat. If I had known that, I would have used that as a sermon title. Slow feet don't eat. I get it. I know it's difficult, turbulent times. I've studied history. Guess what? Every time you study history, people who were writing history at that moment were going through dark and terrible times. It's always, no one's ever saying at that time, oh, this is the best time ever. No. They're always saying it's dark, it's turbulent. You can't trust young people. You can't trust old people. You can't, you just, it's on and on. It can be depressing. I get it, though. I mean, I get it. It is turbulent times. There is rough water. There is deep water. And sometimes it does seem dark. And sometimes it does seem fearful. And we become uncertain and timid and afraid. Have you seen the movie? Finding Nemo. Yeah. Finding Nemo. And you know the movie, all right? And there's the clownfish Marlin, all right? And poor Marlin. Marlin is just, not only is he saddled with an impossible mission about swimming across an entire ocean, all right? He is saddled with the ditziest of gah! You can't get ditzier than Dory. All right? And he's saddled. He can't get rid of her. She can't remember anything, and yet she is always there. Remember how that goes out? And the clue for their mission, remember the mask? That's the clue. That's the clue that they need, all right? Sherman, all the way in Wallaby Lake, that's the clue. They need that clue. But as the movie has unfolded, the mask has fallen down into deep, deep, dark water. And Marlin knows that he needs it, and yet it's deep and it's dark, and he's afraid. And he's so afraid, and he can't will himself to do it. Remember the scene? And there's Dory. Ditzier and clear, just. Ugh. And what does she say? What does she say? You know what you do? You know what you do when you're facing this? You know what you do? You just keep swimming. Remember how she did that? And then she just comes up with it. Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. What do? We swim. Swim. Just keep swimming. Just keep. And she tags Marlin along, and they're swimming through this deep, dark water. And he's like, Dory, get quit it, because now he's got this song in his head. But what he's doing is swimming in the deep, dark, fearful water. Just keep swimming. Amen. In dark times, turbulent times, difficult times, just keep swimming. Giving up and giving in is never going to fulfill the mission of God has for the church. We are called to action. Billions of years ago, I was in Louisville. And Diana and I and a group of friends went to West Virginia to go to whitewater rafting. And because we all know how I am with cold water, I had done my research. I'm not going on no dam release water. No. I am going to go on the New River. The New River, because I know you want to know this, the New River is one of the few rivers on the planet, one of the few rivers in America that actually flow north. Who knew? The source is south, in North Carolina, of all places. All right, and then it just winds its way to West Virginia, you know, but that means that the water's warm. wasn't quite as warm as I had hoped. It's class 4 and class 5 rapids. So it isn't just little bumps in the log. All right, this is significant rapids. This is significant 20-foot drops. This is significant stuff going on. All right, and we're on the raft. Diana and I and our friends, none of us have a clue what we're doing. None of us are whitewater rafting experts. The only person on the raft who knows what's going on is the guide. And the first thing the guide does is, everybody grab a paddle. And you're like, okay. Because he says, I can't do this alone. And he told us, the best way, when you're going over the edge? When you're going over the edge of the rapid, and in the white water, and the turbulent water, and the rough water, the best way to stay in the raft is to row, is to paddle. Because the force forces you in, and it won't let you fall out. You see, that's the way it is with the church sometimes, when we're going through turbulent, tough times. See, sometimes I think the passage is telling us, if you're so busy rowing the boat, then you won't have time to rock it. That's the whole point. That's how you discern the difference. Those who are rowing have a paddle in their hand. The ones who are rocking are just talking. We're called to be in action, to not grow weary in well-doing, to just keep swimming through dark times, through fearful times, sharing the light of God, sharing the hope of Jesus Christ, sharing love and grace with all. Amen.
Amen. Amen.